okay, so I had difficulties with the computer here and was extremely happy to see that I could then put on my own laptop. And now I realized that all my notes are on my laptop and I can't really do both. So I'll improvise a bit. Okay. Rasmus and I are doing a project on where we study an economic experiment, which is called EcoGrid, which is basically coming from an interest of studying design of markets to deal with public concerns, we could say. So when we have a title of making electricity consumption count, it is sort of in two directions. It's on the one hand, it's about making electricity consumption count in a way of dealing with climate change. The other way is making electricity consumption count for the consumer, obviously. So studying this design of a market has become a way into studying consumption of electricity, which is not necessarily where we started, but it has become sort of an entry point into it. And why is that? Because that is actually pretty difficult to study. So electricity sort of feeds everything we do, so it's so mundane that we don't even think about it. So, but on the other hand, it's ingrained in everything we do. We can't even read a book at night without turning on the lights. So if you take me as an example, I come home from work every day. I have four kids. They come home with me, and they start turning all the devices on. So it's the computers, it's TV sometimes, it's the music, it's the radio, and they eat nonstop. So the fridge is opening and closing and opening and closing, and they have friends coming in, and fridge is opening and closing. I start doing the cooking, so I turn on the oven, and the rest of Copenhagen is doing this with me. And at no point in time do we actually think about it as an exchange or as consumption. So I think one of the things is that we can't even talk about it as practice because it's not even there for us. Maybe sort of the monthly, or which is not even a monthly sort of undertaking for me, when we pay the bill. But that actually comes in, I don't even see the bill. I have no clue what we consume. In electricity, I've sometimes thought that it could be a great idea to have sort of a small kind of meter on the kid's computer. That would be a way of disciplining the use of computers, and then I could say, well, that's your money for this week that has just went into your computer abuse. But I've not gone there so far. So one thing is that we don't think about it as consuming something. Another thing is that we don't think about the fact that we all do this. It means that we're taking something out of the electrical grid. And as we all do that at the exact same time, you can imagine sort of what that does to sort of demands on the grid. And producers of energy and the utilities and the transmission system operators know that. And we have historically been operating sort of along a logic we could call production follows demands. So they have these patterns or ideas of how consumption sort of follows a routine of a day, of a week, of the month, of a year. And then they adjust because the balance must be constant. If not, we have breakdowns and that is costly and we can't actually operate in these moments. What the experiment tries to do is actually change that kind of behavior. It tries to sort of do something to this production follow demands. So it is trying to construct a consumer which is consuming in a different way by sending him price signals. So that is kind of the script of this economic experiment that I'm going to describe. So bear in mind that our interest came from sort of studying market design. So when I get carried away with sort of the script, just, what can I say? So if I'm going to sum that up, then we can say electricity is not consumed for its own sake. It's always sort of feeding into something. It's entangled in the way that we do all the everyday practices that we undertake. And we can also say that the commodity status of electricity can be questioned or discussed, which it is also by economists. What kind of status does electricity actually have? And I think that is not something that I'm going to discuss here, but a very central point of how sort of industrialization has made electricity kind of a concealed good, which is another very interesting discussion that comes or that seems to underlie this kind of inquiry. So by using this, or the way we have used the eco-grid experiment as a way of disciplining consumers is also a way of opening this black box. Obviously it does something to sort of what we then see, but in between not being able to observe anywhere because it is everything we do, then this is a way of actually asking questions, observing the confrontations that comes about as people are being disciplined to behave in different ways. So that is why the script of EcoGrid is also very important to be aware of, because it is also producing the kind of challenges of discussions and oppositions that comes out of it. So as an experiment, it is called a market solution to climate change, or at least a part of it, but it's a very specific one. It has to do with wind power. Denmark has a lot of wind power. We want even more wind power in the system because it's a way of greening the electricity system. But wind power is not very stable and uncontrollable. So if you take my example, it would be to expect of my sort of my own daily use of electricity, then it would require that the wind started blowing a lot every afternoon around 4, and it doesn't. So this, if you look at this, then actually the consumers are in here. So we have been made, or we have been translated into a distributed energy resource. And by means of price signals that will then be a consequence of the wind blowing, we should react to these. And that's sort of the whole idea of EcoGrid. So when the wind is blowing, prices go down, and I should start consuming. When wind is not blowing, prices are high, I should stop consuming. That's kind of the basic, very sort of basic, straightforward idea. So EcoGrid then distributes prices at 5-minute intervals. And that is what sort of makes this, it's engineers that have designed this, it's not economists. And that is probably why it looks like a closed-loop control system. It is a closed-loop. But it's also a market. So the experiment takes place at Bornholm. It's a Danish island. It's connected, actually, its electricity cables come from Sweden, which means that it gets a lot of nuclear power too. And it's about, I think, a tenth of the island population that actually is part of this. So it's 2,000 households that are being equipped to behave in this particular way. So let's not go too much into this, because I think we've been there. We draw on sort of the ideas of calculative agencies as the effect of networks, which is being very sort of a very tangible thing in this particular setup with all the meters and devices that create this network. So it's, in that sense, a way of installing a new way of calculating in the consumer. Valuation studies, because it's a very also explicit way of broadening and multiplying the values that feeds into sort of the consciousness of electricity consumption. And then it's a lot about valuation as action, and paying attention to all the struggles that then unfolds around these valuation practices. So in that sense, you could say EcoGrid introduces somehow a new valuable economic entity, and that is flexibility. So they want to, from the experiments side point of view, they want to associate value with this flexibility. And in the upcoming experiment, sort of the follow-up, they actually introduce or try to design a market for flexibility. So it is sort of, flexibility is coming out as or emerging as this new economic, I'm not going to say object, but some kind of entity that we have to associate with value. So basically, how we have sort of gone into sorting our data so far is drawing on a very unlikely person in this, or an unlikely parallel. We're drawing on Howard Becker's Becoming a Mariana User to try to sort of make sense of the willingness and the ability. So the consumers need to be willing to actually, it has to do with, it actually unfolds around sort of kind of social experiences that has to make sense for the consumer. And that, the first step in this is the willingness for the consumer to actually buy into this script. And let's start there, because Bornholm is an island. And big ships cross between Bornholm and Sweden. And sometimes they cut the cable. I'm not sure how this can happen and why it happens quite often, but it does. And that means that the island sort of dies. So this idea of going into blackout and then into what they call island mode is very sort of something that everyone's aware of. That's one thing that feeds into getting people on board. Then we have the whole the issue of climate change, which is obviously also important. And people have an idea that they will save money on the bill and that they can use the equipment for other purposes too. So that's sort of the more private economy reasons for going into the project. So let's move to the ability then. A lot of things are actually put into place to make consumers perform as the script is laid out. They are introduced to the whole script in a first sort of introduction session in a demonstration villa called Villa Smart. They get an electrician, what you see here is an electrician, they come into the house, they map the house, they try to figure out how to actually do things in a more smart way in this particular household, taking into considerations all the sort of the routines of the house, the kids, the animals, sort of going into sort of a very detailed level of household sort of everyday life, and how can we actually then translate these things into zoning the house, putting comfort levels, where we, and this is where we translate values, is one way of dealing with this is automation. So we make all consumers take different rooms of the house and put an upper level and a lower level of their comfort levels in, measured in temperature, because somehow we know that the consumer is not able to do that when it comes to prices, because they're too stupid. And that's the assumption of the program. So we have to make them relate to temperature. And that kind of conflicts with this idea, which is the underlying sort of outspoken idea of the program, that awareness will change habits. But we have this loop in which we still, because this consumer is not smart enough, we make him translate things into temperature degrees or other things, automate him, which then has consequences. Because he might be made able by means of his equipment, by a heuristic device like do your laundry at night, which most of you probably know, which is the classical sort of smart grid idea that prices are low at night. Laundry is something we can do without. We don't have to be there, we don't have to be aware, we don't have to be ready to do anything. So that is a way, sort of a heuristic device in explaining consumers sort of the whole idea or logic of the setup. So what then comes out of this? Well, not what they expect, at least. And for a number of reasons. But the only thing that seems to be common is that people do not react in the way that the program or the experiment sort of sets out to make them behave. So if we should try to order sort of why that is, one is would be autonomy in what is your private sphere. So typical examples would be, I come down one day and the floor heating is off. And I am so pissed off that I turn off the system right away. And it's going to be at least 2 weeks before I turn it back on. And we have a lot of these examples of autonomy, of people trying to sort of make us have routines that we don't want to, at least maybe we have them, but we do not want to sort of express them and actually define them. We have a lot of people that want to save on the electricity bill, but that's not necessarily the same logic as which is in the eco-grid, because it doesn't want you to save on consuming kilowatt hours. It wants you to displace them. But here people just start experimenting with the equipment to find out that, well, I can save on the bill by putting my rolls in the toaster rather than the oven. And we have people that, well, here I call it, they calculate not to calculate. Because what they do is they would actually do very sophisticated calculations to conclude that's simply too time consuming to actually do as the script wants me to do. And finally, we have all these messiness, or what Calon would call overflows, that moves around all houses, like cats and bacteria, floor heating, that actually disturbs and eventually make people sort of fall out of the program, or at least not comply with it. So, yes, that's where I am, I think. To make this price consumer remain, or become more than a fiction, what we sort of, and that is important, and I think that's because it is dealing with climate change, so it's not simply to produce some kind of different economic actor. This is a serious attempt to do something about an issue that touches all of us. So I think the two observations that we sort of want to make right now is that one has to do with how do you act upon something that is so ingrained in everyday life? How do you disentangle that? How do you actually separate things in a way that you can act upon it? And the other one would be that we have multiple sort of calculative agencies, and EcoGrid seems to be maybe constructed around, I think it was Daniels and Marta's paper that mentions a quote by McKenzie saying that economic experiments seem to be organized around one Homo economicus, and that seems to be the case here too, that it's a very specific Homo economicus that seems to be at the core of the script, but a lot of different economic agents exist. They're not less economic, but simply different. Thank you.
Thanks, Trina. Do you have any questions for Trina?
No, I thought it was really good. It's really interesting. Thanks for that. So I'm interested in the sort of the, you know, where it becomes kind of messy and argumentative at the end there. And I think I've, if I'm understanding it right, but tell me if I'm not, the tension somehow is there between the sort of the consumers and the system in some way.
Yeah.
The system in inverted commas,
yeah.
It's kind of modelling them in one way, and then they're not really following that they don't match model. Does it also in any way sort of introduce tensions within the households between the consumers? Because you were talking about, oh, I'd like to know about my kids' computers. Does it kind of lead to arguments there? I'm just thinking, when we had a smart meter for a short time, it's not there anymore. there were a number of arguments about, you know, whose kinds of interests were consuming more electricity.
Yeah.
Not that you can really definitively figure it out in relation to the smart meter.
I think we did see some. For example, when is Christmas bakery going to set in? Because that would consume a lot of energy, apparently. But they are small scale. I mean, right now, I think it is actually somehow becoming a fight against the system. And I think there's something in the way that they have introduced this whole script that turns it into this sort of very confrontational sort of way. I just turn them off. So I don't. People actually seem to agree, but that then again, that could be how we get in there. I mean, how do we collect our data? Because as I said, I think one of our primary sort of problems has been how do you observe this? And we do that by following the electricians as they install the equipment, as they train people, or we do it in in the sessions where they are introduced to the whole thing in Villa Smart in the demonstration house. We do a lot of interviews, but we don't, we're not there when people actually, which is all the time. So these things could happen.
Yeah, thanks, sir. That was really interesting. I mean, this is designed, the system has been designed by engineers who have not really looked at the way people live their lives or what's important to them. So, you know, is there some now effort to recalibrate the system based on this? I mean, I think my own example that, you know, in a way I value, I was getting quite annoyed at home where the lights were left on all the time.
Yeah.
And then I went online to see how much that costs. And I realised it doesn't actually cost very much.
Mm.
So then I thought, well, you know, this takes a lot of effort for me to keep complaining and shouting about the lights when I've got a whole load of other things to shout about. So forget the lights. So, you know, that's my valuation. You know, isn't there some way of sort of incorporating these ideas into the system that is set up?
Two things. Actually, right now we're involved in sort of trying to get funding for a second, or they are, all the engineers that are involved in this, getting funding for a second experiment, EcoGrid 2, in which they need to activate the consumer even more. And we're supposed to feed into that, which I was telling Lotta is kind of a frightening thing to get that kind of role. The other thing is that Denmark has the highest electricity prices, but the reason why we do that is because we have taxes that are huge. That means that every signal in the price actually disappears, so it makes it even less visible. But I know that what they're going to do is they're going to try to make yet another translation in which they're going to put out prices that are like £1, £1.5 per a kilowatt hour, which is like complete craziness, but it's going to be sort of in a concealed setting in which you gain, you do not pay that amount, obviously, because then people would, that it would sort of call rebels to sort of fight against utilities, but they are going to gain EcoGrid bonus points, which is the alternative currency in the experiment, to make, to see if they react. But don't know if it will.
Yeah.
Thank you. I really enjoyed that. And I think echoing what you were saying, Shireen, it's so important what you were saying about the engineer's model of a flowing form of electricity. And it struck me that it's not just your own practices that you're unaware of, it's really the manufacturer's practices that you're unaware of, because you don't see how the electricity comes in and out of your home.
Exactly.
Until that cable gets cut. So I was wondering, is there any opportunity then to look at consumers who are not part of a similar flow? I'm not sure if there are different ways of obtaining electricity in Denmark. Here in Britain, there's still a lot of people who have metered electricity.
Yeah.
So they have a very different relationship with their practices, because when it runs out, that's it, click, everything goes off. Or for heating, people who use oil or bottled gas, again, it's a finite supply that has to be planned for, reordered, delivered in time, which makes you therefore very aware, because it's the manufacturer's practices that have no flow.
Yeah, I'm so happy you bring that up, because that would exactly be, but it's not never going to sell, but that would be the perfect solution, would be the electric meter, because that's the way of reintroducing electricity as some kind of commodity, in which you know that you've prepaid for some amount and you have to pay attention to, then you would be, it would create this awareness that they actually want. But I have I don't think Denmark has seen a single electrical meter in that.
The problem, though, in Britain, though, I don't know, for people who are British, the thing is that it does have sort of a class attachment to it, that because you're metered, you are less well off.
Yes.
You're less well regarded than people who have the flow. So it's better to have the flow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be an interesting experimental counterexample, in a way, like if you wanted to introduce a range of experiments, that would be one thing. I mean, I have once lived in rental accommodation where I had a meter, and it definitely has those kind of class connotations with what do I do with this?
Yeah.
But you know, you do get used to it, you do recalibrate your practices,
yeah.
but it requires a kind of constant attentiveness, and it's, you're none the wiser necessarily about which practices cost. It still contains within it some of the issues you raise, actually.
But it would actually be one that would be my suggestion, but I know it's never going to work with, I mean, there is no way that's going to work in Denmark. I think there is so much effort put into actually concealing what we do.
Yeah.
And I think it is sort of a historical, for the last 100 years, an evolution that goes into, that's a co-evolution that does that. It is concealed in every way, both in terms of bills, the way we pay, the way we price it. It is concealed that we actually consume in that particular way.
Andres,
you had a question
a
second ago, and it will have to be the last question for time reason.
Okay. Which would be the fetish character, I think, of the commodity in Marxist terms? And so that's also part of my question, maybe, because from what I understand, this is like the micro level version of how energy markets work in the macro level.
Mm-hmm.
And from what you know from Enron scandal and so on, this concealment also creates spaces for manipulating the systems.
Exactly.
Because those that sort of set the price after the 5 minutes, from what I understood, it's automated here. But it would just be so good to have the high price for a minute more.
Exactly.
And you know how much you will be getting as a company.
That is exactly one of the big challenges of this, because an electricity exchange is combined of a number of markets. And this would be resembling the spot market, for example, but you would have a balance market. And actually, this price is supposedly to be generated out of the balancing portfolio, but you're not allowed for exactly that reason. That would reveal information that would then be taken to speculative means. So that is another obstacle of actually creating the right price, but that is going to bring me out of other, well, very different sort of angles.
Thanks, Trina. So that's the end of the morning session. Something a little embarrassing. At Warwick, we do normally eat off plates. But today, we haven't been given any plates, which makes everything a little awkward. I don't know where we can get them.
Could I go to University House?
But that would take you quite a long time, I think.
Did they supply napkins?
They haven't
supplied the sauces.
We have sauces. We have these lids.
Sauces
are
fine.
Those are the healthier
ones.
I do have tissues, so we can manage that.
Is there anybody else in this building who has
a
kitchen?
Perhaps if you would start, and then I'll go and see if I can locate some plates, and then we can sort that out later. If you want to go to get coffee from the University House, then I've got my card and that will let you get access. So if you're likely to do that...